The Spirit of Stabia by Matt McBride. Lucius Gaius awoke with a start when the door of the hut crashed open. His wife, lying next to him, let out a terrified shriek, and Lucius reassured her, saying it was probably only the wind, before he went to investigate. Their modest home had but two rooms. One for sleeping, and the other for all other purposes. When he fumbled his way out of the dark bedroom, he found the shack's entrance door wide open, although he was sure he had barred it. There was no wind when Lucius stepped outside. The moon was full, and all was quiet in the cluster of fishermen's huts. He went back inside, and lit a small oil lamp, before closing the door firmly. In the dim light from the lamp, he looked warily around the small living room, expecting to find something amiss. Then Lucius trembled as he glanced up and saw the latest manifestation to plague his household. A net he'd been repairing, floated above his head. As he watched, transfixed by fear, the net swirled as if being cast by an invisible fisherman, and then dropped, enveloping him in its mesh. The flame of the oil lamp flickered and went out. At dawn, Lucius walked down to the beach, and met with Titus and Manius, who had already begun to get the boat the three men shared ready for sea. All around the small cove, others were doing the same. The peaceful settlement of Stabia had supplied the nearby town of Pompeii for generations, but now Lucius could sense the tension that blighted their village. Manius nodded at Lucius when he joined them to help finish their preparations. Even in the half-light, Lucius could discern the dark shadows circling his friend's eyes. For many days now, no night had passed undisturbed. As soon as they'd pushed the boat into the sea and set the lateen sail, Lucius spoke. "The gods have turned against us. We haven't fulfilled our obligations to them. Our offerings have been insufficient." "But my family give offerings at every meal," said Titus. "Even when we have hardly enough to feed ourselves. Surely the gods cannot expect us to starve, while their share of our food rots on a shrine." Titus went on to describe how he had awakened in the night, and, in the moonlight cast through an open window, he'd seen his baby daughter, levitated above her cot. The child's white cotton nightgown had floated around her, like a ghostly apparition. She was too young to know what was happening, and had only begun to cry when her mother sat up and screamed. Before she could fall, Titus had snatched her from the air. "For sure, there is an evil spirit moving among us," said Manius. "It is invading every home. No one is spared. My night was also disturbed when a jug of water next to my bed was overturned and soaked me." "Could you have knocked it over in your sleep?" Lucius asked, knowing he was grasping at a straw. As the acknowledged patriarch of the settlement, Lucius summoned the head of each household to a meeting that same afternoon, while the women cleaned and gutted the catch. They would try and make sense of the situation, and propose a solution. Life could not continue like this. The men had tried to make light of the phenomena at first, but the incidents were increasing, both in frequency and intensity, and the women and children had grown fearful of the night. After much debate, Lucius reached a conclusion. "There is no doubt that a spirit has entered the village, and is unhappy with our presence here," he said. "I know you have all given offerings, and prayed to the gods, and that nothing has worked. The spirit refuses to be appeased. I believe we must leave this place as soon as possible, and build a new life, further along the coast." Despite the reluctance of the menfolk to uproot their families, no other solution could be found, and it was agreed they should begin loading all their possessions into the boats immediately. On the following morning, they would take their leave. As if in response to their decision, that night was the first in a week that passed untroubled. Lucius was convinced this was a sign that their course of action was the correct one, and, at last, the evil spirit was satisfied. By mid-morning the next day, the loading was complete, and it took a dozen strong men and women to drag each heavily laden vessel into the water. Most had dismantled their huts to save the best timbers for their new homes. Children ran up and down the beach, excitedly gathering the treasured possessions they needed for their new adventure. The few goats the villagers kept to provide milk, bleated piteously from their unfamiliar accommodation, in the bowels of one of the boats. The small fleet raised their sails as one, and headed out to sea, with Lucius's boat leading the way. He had instructed everyone to continue well out into the deep ocean before turning south, in order to avoid the many reefs and shoals along the coast. An hour passed before Lucius judged they were far enough from the shore. He was about to give the signal to change course, when Titus grabbed his arm with a gasp of alarm. At the same moment, a thunderous rumble reached his ears across the expanse of water. Titus cried out, "May the gods protect us!" Lucius turned, and gazed in awe at the sight. The great mountain that rose skyward behind Pompeii was a mass of smoke and flame. "It is Vesuvio," Lucius yelled in horror. "The fires of Hades have been unleashed." Manius, and all their passengers, scrambled to the stern of the boat to watch the terrible spectacle. The more sharp-eyed among them could see crimson rivers flowing down towards the coast, and related this to the others. The summer sky turned to twilight, as clouds of ash obscured the sun, making the glowing streams plainly visible in the gloom. Even at that distance, the fisherfolk could feel the heat emanating from the inferno. Lucius Gaius could only stand in stunned silence, as the disaster unfolded before his eyes. The entire coastline was on fire, and, as he watched, the first scarlet rivulets touched the sea, erupting into clouds of white steam. He fell to his knees, and began to give thanks to the spirit of Stabia that had saved all their lives. He knew in his heart, that nothing but the fear of the unknown would have persuaded the villagers to leave their homes that day. And, one by one, the others all followed suit, vowing always to honor their guardian angel, the spirit they now knew was watching over them.